Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem, dear friends. This is your radio pastor, Paul Ver. It is a pleasure to be able to visit with you once again and share some thoughts from God's Word on the various covenants or agreements that God has made with men down through the ages of time. Basically, the word covenant denotes an agreement made between two or more persons. This contract, for such it is, normally assures the parties of mutual benefits. It sometimes even includes penalties should the requirements be broken or unfulfilled. There is a difference in a covenant or agreement when one of the contracting parties is greatly superior in power or authority to the other party. Kings and rulers and governments, for example, have often proclaimed decrees governmentally that they thought was best to impose on their subjects. Often these subjects expressed their readiness to conform. In such a covenant, the ruler generally bound himself to rule for the best interests and the protection of his people. The Hebrew Scriptures describe certain special relationships between God and men as covenants. These often indicate the gracious undertakings of God for the benefit and the blessing of men. In God's covenants, of course, the contracting parties stand indeed upon vastly different levels. Therefore, the covenants of God constitute essentially the divine announcements of His holy and blessed will. These promises call upon men to respond and to commit themselves willingly and wholly to the required obligations the covenant demands. The desire of God is expressed in the oft-repeated statement, "Ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." The prophet Jeremiah declares that God's motive behind his covenants is his loving kindness. It has been said that loving kindness may be translated covenant love. This stands out in remarkable contrast to the demands required in the worship of the pagan gods, who often appear much like feudal and capricious lords, demanding but never giving, creating fear but never an acceptance of love. There are several temporal covenants that God entered into with men. These reveal progressively the great everlasting covenant of redemption and grace that originated with God before time began. The prophet Malachi refers to the Messiah, or Christ, as the messenger of the covenant. The first of these covenants has been termed the Edenic covenant. This was made with Adam while he was resident in the Garden of Eden prior to his fall into sin. It is sometimes referred to as the covenant of innocence. This stewardship of innocence, though, ended with Adam's disobedience and rebellion. Through Adam, as the federal head of humanity, the entire human race has been afflicted with sin. The great rabbi Saul of Tarsus wrote to the Christian church in Rome, saying, "By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Man's fall into sin resulted in the announcement of God's second covenant, known as the Adamic covenant. Made after the fall of Adam in sin, it contained the curse upon the serpent and the judgments upon the woman, Eve, and the man, Adam, and on the created world that we speak of as nature. The penalty of spiritual death, where Adam was cut off from fellowship with God, ultimately resulted in physical death, and eventually eternal death, unless there is salvation from sin. So we see that in this covenant there is the glorious promise and prophecy of a future victory and salvation through the seed of the woman. The first book of Moses, Genesis, informs us that mankind's history following Adam's expulsion from the Garden of Eden led to a time when the earth was described as corrupt before God and filled with violence. Every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. The adversary, Satan, had brought his power to bear upon man's corrupted nature as he sought to thwart God's promise of salvation. He sought to destroy any possible godly descendants. Because of man's utter corruption, God in his holiness determined the destruction of man. Yet here, in the midst of gross immorality and wickedness, the grace of God in the everlasting covenant of redemption shone forth. Against the backdrop of the spiritual blackness of that age, God demonstrated his loving kindness in the making of another temporal covenant. This third temporal covenant was made with Noah. While we have observed other special covenants prior to this one made with Noah, this is the first actual occurrence of the word translated covenant. It is recorded in the Hebrew Scriptures when God speaks to Noah, saying, "The end of all flesh has come before me. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood, and this is how you shall make it. And behold, even I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark." Noah became a man of two worlds. He lived both in that time, spoken of by the Apostle Peter as the world that then was, a world that was finally overflowed with water, perished, as well as the world that followed the destructive deluge, a world that exists even at this present time. Noah and his family were preserved from that judgment that wiped away their former world. He was then given the place of dominion over the pristine state of the new world that God was bringing to pass. The second time the word covenant is used in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, is when God announces to Noah, after the flood, "Now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you, and with your descendants after you." In the awesome circumstances surrounding Noah's emergence from the now lodged ark, the first recorded action of Noah was to build an altar and offer sacrifices in worship to God. These sacrifices demonstrated Noah's faith, as well as his determination to obey and love God. Those sacrifices were also a foreshadowing of the terms of the everlasting covenant made before time began, when God would send his Son into the world as the true sacrifice for sin. The sovereign creator of the universe granted his approval of Noah's sacrifices and accompanied that approval with the promise that he would never again, in a total manner, destroy the earth by means of a flood. While earth's history would last, its seasons, along with their harvests, would continue. God commanded Noah and his family, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Noah and his sons experienced somewhat the same relation to the new world that Adam and Eve had experienced with the old world. As the entire old world descended from Adam, so the entire new world descended from Noah. The covenant that God made with Noah reaffirmed the conditions of the covenant given to Adam prior to his fall and being thrust out of the garden. In this new covenant with Noah, God institutes what we term the principle of human government. Man is made responsible to protect the sanctity of human life. God states to Noah, "From each man I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God has God created man." The carrying out of these temporal commands, along with the promises, are given to Noah's natural offspring here on earth. The eternal realization of the promises are to his spiritual children in heaven. It would be a mistake, however, to regard certain of the promises to be simply of a temporal nature and restricted only to Noah's natural descendants, while other promises are of a celestial character and pertaining only to the spiritual seed. The truth is that the outward and the temporal character of the Noahic covenant never existed alone nor just for itself, but rather was an appointed foreshadowing of the spiritual and the eternal blessings God has promised to those who trust wholly in Christ. The outward and the temporal is only a shell, even a shadow, of the spiritual and the eternal. God willing, next week we shall consider the covenant made with Abraham. God's unique and special dealings with Abram grew out of the promises God made to Noah. The Noahic covenant reveals that God's ultimate plan was for all men, irrespective of their nationality. All men would enter into the temporal benefits promised to Noah. As a result of his faith in God, Noah became, as the writer to the Hebrews declares, heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah had to trust the promise of God that he would keep him safe from the ravages of judgment that would descend upon the world. Today, we are to trust the promise of God that trust and faith in his Son, Yeshua, will keep us safe from the eternal judgment of God. Will you come by faith to Yeshua, Israel's Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the world? To do so is to enter into his true blessings for time and for eternity. Shalom. May the God of peace draw you to himself through faith in the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach.